Raise your hand if there's a seat available by you. Hope, there's room.
There's room here.
Yes. Come on.
Morning.
That was for like 5 minutes earlier. I was like, oh, I'm glad about that.
No,
all right, all right, all right. Time is money. And I'm so grateful you're here. Really, thanks for being in this class. By the way, if you have to slip out, if you're over here, obviously there's a couple of other doors, so we don't have to walk all over each other to... Don't leave. Don't get mad and leave. But I mean, if you need to leave the class, okay, there's a couple of different ways to get out. But man, thank you for being here in this class together. First thing is I want everybody or every couple to have a syllabus. Who doesn't have one? Who doesn't have one? Over here?
Okay.
You got some there?
Okay.
Thank you,
Captain.
Okay. Extra fans, too? Do we have any extra fans?
No, I'm not sure. I didn't know that.
Okay. Make sure everybody's got one. We'll pray in a few moments, but let's get some things down first here. Good. And how many in here are new members to BBC? New members? Okay. How many are new attenders? How many are old timers who finally surrendered to get in here? Okay. Good. Good back there in the back row, too. Sure. Yeah. Why? Okay. I pray. And I have prayed, and I will continue to pray, that our time together is going to impact your life in the sense of you growing in your knowledge of God, in your walk with God, in your understanding of the Scriptures, how to study the Scriptures, and so forth. In fact, if you have a syllabi in front of you, just open it up to about that second page. And you notice we're going to cover a lot of topics, and that's the intent of this particular class. We have 12-week chunks of our classes. Well, obviously, we're not going to get through 24 lessons in 12 weeks unless we speed study here or whatever, and that's not our goal. So we may do a couple of different 12-week chunks. But whatever, we're going to cover a lot of those. Now just turn back to the very front of it. Basic, these are basics, things of the Christian life that we're going to cover. And the basics are imperative, right? Because if we get the basics right, we're ready for beyond there in other things in our own study. Body, we call these bodybuilders because the Bible talks about building up the body. If you're a Christian, you're in the body of Christ, which is the church. So this is about likewise understanding your place and your role in the body of Christ. This is about building you up because we are to build one another up and we are to be built together up in the faith. And because we're a Bible church, you need to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, just to kind of see this. That's the basis of this. Ephesians chapter 4. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. There you go. Got that? Glad you came. How many knew that already? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 and following. Real quick. God has given gifted people to the church. What purpose? Verse 12. Ephesians 4, 12 now. For equipping of the saints. That's believers. Equipping them. Making them serviceable. Work of service. To the what? Your version ought to say something effective. Building up. Right? Building up the body of Christ. That's what we're about. Being built up in the faith. Notice also at the end of verse 16, Ephesians now 4:16. 4:16. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by whatever every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part caused the growth of the body for that. Here it is again. I'm just pointing out building up. So the purpose of this is to be built up, to be built up in the faith. Ephesians 6:10 says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's our goal in this class. So if you're at zero in the Christian faith, brand new in the faith, fantastic. This is a perfect class for you. If you've been saved for a while and just need to review the basics, fantastic. It's always good to do so. Maybe you're somebody that says, man, I got somebody else that I want to meet with. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. I want to help them. Oh, this is great stuff. You know, people running to us as pastors all the time. Have you got a recommended book for this? A recommended book for that? A recommended about forgiveness? A recommended book about how to deal with sin? We're just covering all that stuff in these bodybuilders. So you'll have a great source, likewise, to help yourself and to help others. It sounds like I'm selling this morning, doesn't it? But I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to encourage you the fact that this will greatly benefit you wherever you're at in the Christian life. Also, on the front cover, notice at the bottom, Discipleship Manual. Okay? We're called to be disciples. A disciple is a follower and a learner. And we're also called to make disciples. We call that the Great Mission or the Great Commission of the Church. So before you can make one, you got to be one. You with me? Before you be a teacher, you got to be a learner. So it starts again with all of this. So one good goal is to be able to hang in there with this and have the opportunity. Then you can take somebody else through this material. So how to benefit most from the class? Just some things I want to cover real quick. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Who knows 1 Corinthians 4:2 from the King James? It is required of stewards that a man / woman be found faithful. Be faithful. So what am I asking you to do right now? To put your hand on your Bible and repeat after me. No, I'm not literally. Okay. But I want you to make this class your priority. This is true of all of life, a bank or a garden, right? You're going to get out in proportion what? To what we put into this thing. So if you're not faithful to it, you're not going to get out of it the basics of what will benefit to you from us. So I'm just asking you at this time, you know, when it's one of those weekends or whatever of something else and you're have one of those times of, well, maybe we're going to be home or what else. I want you to know I'm praying for you to be faithful to the class as best you can. Christ is worthy of that, period, and what He's done for us. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. Also, I want you to know that this class is not going to be a lecture. It's a study together. So, you're going to, if you haven't noticed already, there's going to be places in each of these particular topics where you look up verses and you fill in a blank as it relates to a question, so that when we're covering different sections, you've already gone through it yourself and you've prepared by covering it. And we're going to come back and cover some of it again. We won't look up every single verse that's mentioned in every single lesson here, but we'll look up key ones. So the benefit of a study is that when you've done your work and then we get together and we go over it again, it's reinforced in our understanding and ability to be able to implement into life, right? We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be what?
Doers.
We want to be doers. So we want to implement into our life and into our walk the things that we're learning. So if I can encourage you then to take the time during the week to get ahead. We're going to shoot for one a week. Maybe we'll get more done, maybe less. We'll see how it goes. But one of the topics per week. The other thing is, if you have one of those weeks and you didn't get it done, do not then not come to the class. It's all the more reason then to show up to the class so we cover the lesson. You with me? So don't do that. Give yourself an excuse that way. Kind of like I know human nature here. Amen? Right? So don't give yourself an out that way. Come. Or, you know, if you're gone to Hawaii for a week, God bless you. The rest of us are jealous. Amen? But when you get back, there'll be a way for connect with somebody else or whatever to get caught up in that particular lesson. So I promise you, you do the work and you're faithful to the class, you will benefit from it. And I know you'll be pleasing to the God of heaven. Also, mark up your syllabus. Mark it up. I'm going to make comments about most everything that we're covering. And a lot of them will be very helpful, not because they're mine, but because I borrowed them from somebody else to just drive home the things that we're covering. So I've brought a couple of my ones from years gone by. And this is just an example of one of the pages, just kind of from my own notes. See, I just got it all scribbled up. So don't treat it like it's sacred and that you can't just mark it up as we go along in addition to filling in the blanks and so forth. There's going to be key verses, likewise, that we're going to come to. Go to lesson one. In each of the lessons concerning the subject or topic that we're covering, there's going to be a couple of key verses. How many people like a real challenge? Okay, then there'd be an opportunity for you to choose one of those verses that are key or one in the lesson and commit it to memory. Wouldn't that be something, right? Why couldn't we memorize one per week? But I want you to know we're going to have key verses there for various topics that we are covering. So, all right, introduction. You say, haven't we just done that? No, turn to the introduction page, okay? We have a whiteboard here this morning. That's not for any notes. It's if you're not paying attention, I put your name up here, okay? So just understand I'm looking both directions here. Okay, here we are. Series of lessons provide a basic study of topics relating to God and the Bible. They're entitled Bodybuilders, as they intend to strengthen you in the understanding of basic truths of Christian faith. Enough said there. According to the Bible, a Christian will be a disciple of Christ. A disciple is a follower of Christ and a learner from that which Christ taught. As you learn of him, you'll grow in the faith and in your influence upon others for the sake of Christ. And you should desire that. I know you do. God intends for every Christian to grow, and it is that progressive sanctification. Now, that's a 25% word or phrases there. Progressive means ongoing, right? Continual. Sanctification is the idea of holiness or growing in more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what we want. Amen? That's what we desire. That's what we're after as we grow. And all of that will bring glory to God. And ultimately, that's our end in this. So what we're doing is commanded from the Bible. 2 Peter 3:18 says, this is the last verse in 2 Peter. And it's what's called an imperative. An imperative, we know, is a command. So we're not trying to be over and above normal Christian life. We're trying to do just what God tells us in His Word. And what God commands in His Word is, if you're a believer, you are to be growing. And if you're growing, you're involved in that. Okay? So look at that verse again. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, these lessons are designed for you to disciple others. As I've mentioned, Jesus commanded us to make disciples. And here's that verse in Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And in that verse, there's one main command. It's make disciples. And it's surrounded by three participles. Going, baptizing, and teaching. And what are we to teach? All that Jesus commanded. So that's our quest in terms of being a disciple and making disciples of others. What else do I want to tell you this morning? let's get started and let me pray. Okay? We'll turn right over that lesson one and get going with the Bible as God's Word. So, Father, thank you so much for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. And you've given us life for it right now. And our lives are a vapor. So we treasure just the privilege to be able to be together today and to begin to review things maybe that we know, learn new things for sure that we don't know, and not only be people who are learning more, but how this will impact our lives, just as we've mentioned, to be more like your Son, to understand our God, our Creator, the one who made us and has revealed Himself to us in your Word, the Bible. So we thank you for that. And we got all kinds of other things going on in our lives, Father, all the time. And yet there's oftentimes things that are urgent and things that are most important. And I can say this under the authority of your Word. If we're a Christian, there's nothing more important that we continue in this pilgrimage of personal growth. And I ask that these lessons that we cover will accommodate that. I know it will, because it's filled with your Word, and it'll be done to your glory, for your honor. And you desire that, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen? All right, here we go. 9:15. What's the date? What year? Okay. Here we go. Notice a couple of key verses here concerning God's Word. Psalm 119:11. Now, we won't look up every single one, so we can just read that one here. Everybody read together with me. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And Matthew 4:4, now we're quoting Jesus. Read it with me. But he answered and said, it is written. Job believed that when Job said that he desired God's Word more than his necessary food. Think of that. Man shall not live by bread alone. Every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Pretty important concerning the Word, the Scriptures. So, the Bible is the Word of God. It contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, doom of sinners, the blessings of believers. Now, here's some mind-blowing facts. The Scriptures were written by approximately 40 different men, moved along by God, Peter tells us. They lived in several different countries. They lived in different times. The Bible's written approximately over a 1,500-year period. How do you have writings over 1,500 years? Put those writings all together and it be perfectly unified and consistent with one another in prophecy and in unity and doctrine and so forth. It must be a God thing. And it is. And I would say to you today, there are people who have approached the Scriptures to point out how they are just man's writings about God rather than God's Word about man and himself. and they've ended up believing the scriptures because the Bible got into them and they realized the supernatural nature of the scriptures. Martin Luther said the Bible is like a lion in a cage. You don't need to talk about it. Just open the gate and it'll devour people. And that's the power of the scriptures and the power of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, one of the unique things about the scriptures is its unity and consistency of over 1,500 years, the Bible being written, and yet it come together in perfect unity and consistency with itself. And that is because it's a book written by the Spirit of God, revealing God himself. They wrote in three languages. You'll be required to learn all three: Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. All right? And so we have, and we take for granted, we have the scriptures in our language. If you read about men like William Tyndale, that gave his life to get the scriptures in the common language of his people in what, 16th century there in England. And for his running and hiding for well over a decade from the officials of the Church of England, who said, you're not going to pronounce this thing in the language of the people. It's a dangerous thing to put the Bible in the hands of the common man. It needs to be in the clergy and whatever else. And so for that, he was finally caught. By the way, in the providence of God, the printing press provided him to be printing copies of the scriptures and sneaking it into England and other parts of the world. And for that, he was later captured and strangled and tied to a stake and burned alive just to get the scriptures into the common language of the people of his day. And we've got the scriptures on our lap. And let me say this also. I would, if I could require of everybody here in the class, just for your own help as well, you need a good study Bible. And so if you have a Bible, that's fantastic, but I would really encourage you to get a good study Bible. There's some examples of those in the Book Center. And the reason is because in a good study Bible today, you have resources within that of cross-references and introduction to chapters and all kinds of theology and so forth, usually in the back of a study Bible. And if men just 200 years ago would have had what you have in a study Bible, they would have thought they died and gone to heaven with what is available to us in just a good study Bible. That will help you, likewise, in our moving along here. Okay, the scripture contains five major themes. Here we go. First, the character of God. The Bible is God's self-revelation. Okay? You might want to jot that in there. It's God's self-revelation. What do I mean by that? The scriptures are God revealing himself in the Word of God. So if they're anything, they're revealing who is the one who made you. Self-revelation. Everything we need to know about him, about us, about life, about here, where we came from, where we're going, and how to get there. Blessings and faith of obedience all over the scriptures. By the way, the Bible gives us the beginning of history as we know it. In the beginning, what? Beginning of what? History as we know it. And it gives us the end of human history likewise. A new heaven, new earth, and so forth. Okay, divine judgment for sin and disobedience. A savior and sacrifice for sin. These are major themes of the scriptures. Coming kingdom and future glory. If we were to take a woven scarf up here today, and it would be woven and be a white scarf, within that scarf we would have a red thread. It would represent in the scriptures, there's this idea of a redeemer, of redemption, a major theme in the scriptures from Genesis 3 all the way to the Revelation. It's about God providing a way for man to be made right with him. And the Old Testament, it's pointing where? Christ. In the Gospels, it's saying here, and in the church epistles, he's saying he's come, and Revelation says he's coming again. Amen? But this central theme of Jesus Christ. So there's this redemptive thing that's going on throughout the scriptures. The overarching theme, then, of the Bible is the glory of God. Everything about these things ultimately are to his end. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever we do, Whether we eat or whether we drink, we should do all to the what? To the glory of God. What does that mean? It means make God look good. It means to honor Him. It means that He gets the credit. And ultimately, all of this, this whole redemptive thing, is to cause us to stand back and say, wow, what a plan, what a God. What a God that we have, and that He's revealed Himself to us. So, it is also in this sense that Christ, Son of God, is preeminent as the central figure throughout the Scriptures. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify, and here's your first blank to fill in. And Jesus said, these testify about Me, about Me, about Christ. Don't put your name in there. The answer is Me, and it's Jesus talking, right? It's Him talking. Scriptures say it's about Me. How do we get to heaven? John 14. Jesus said what? I am. I'm the way. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. All to Him. All to Him. So here's a little survey. Well, not a survey, but a little kind of an outline of the Bible as a whole. At the bottom of this first page, books of the law, history, poetry, prophecy, gospels. By the way, gospels, the word gospel, make a note there, means good news, right? Good news. It's amazing. You can be in church and hear the word gospel 7,200 times and not really know what it means. It means good news. What's the good news? Christ has come and died on behalf of sinners. We can trust in Him, be forgiven of our sins, and be sure of a home in heaven. Amen? Amen? That's the good news about Him. And in the Gospels, we have a 4D, four-dimension, beautiful, more about that in a little bit, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, books of the law, promise of His coming, history, poetry, so forth, anticipation of Christ, Gospels, Acts, letters. Oh, want to know a secret? Oh, what an exciting class. You want to know a secret?
Yeah.
Pastor's going to introduce the book of Acts today. Yeah. It's going to be great. Or it better be great. Hey, Matt, you better tell him that. It better be great. Yeah. Oh, it's the history. Beginning of the church. History of the church. And missions and so forth. It's going to be a great, great study. So we are excited about that. Okay, next page. So now we're dividing it up a little bit more. A little more. 39 books, Old Testament, 27 in the New. Check. First five books called the Pentateuch, five. These are commonly called the books of the, starts with the letter L, books of law. Books of law, right. Written by Moses and others. They are often referred to as the five books of Moses or the Pentateuch. List them in order. Now we can do this, right? This is your first test. Here we go. First one is what?
Genesis.
Book of beginning. Book of beginning. Major book of the Bible that's most attacked because it's most important about where we came from, who is God, creation, man, fall, so forth. Second book, Charlton Heston goes to the Pharaoh and says, let my people go. You have to be a little older to catch that one, okay? But Exodus, going out. Going out, right? Leviticus, priestly laws, holiness, worship. You'll struggle your first time getting through Leviticus. I realize it's not your most favorite book, but the more that you grow and the more that you read Leviticus, the more that you'll go, oh, this is really it. It is about holiness. It is about God. It is about sanctification. Leviticus. Next book is what? Numbers, right in there, Numbers. By the way, I tell you a story about seminary. So here we are at seminary, first year, guys. I went to seminary at Grace Theological Seminary in northern part of Indiana, in Winona Lake. Ever been to Winona Lake, okay? And our first year in what was called homiletics, which is part of preaching, the prof came in there and said, okay, you guys are in seminary and all about preaching and the Bible and everything else. Many of you have already gone to Bible college, seminaries, you know, graduate level. So he said, okay, first thing we're going to do is sit down, write all the names of the Bible in order and proper spelling. Should we do that for next week? Huh? Amen? Like, hey, we know so much better. I think it took me 3 tries to get it right. But it's good to find our way around in our scripture. Some of us have the tabs and so forth, right? That's okay to get that. But here we are, Numbers and then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, Moses' great discourse to prepare the people to enter into the land. And he reminds them of the law and says there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a way of blessing and there's a way of what? Cursing. Yeah. Okay, so that's the first 5 historical books of history describe God's dealing with his chosen people, Israel, the Hebrew nation. So, as they begin to enter into the land, we've got Joshua. And when the nation begins to make its way into the land, they come to remember Pastor's lesson on Jericho. They're coming to Jericho, and there is this gal by the name of Rahab. Turn to Joshua. Joshua, because we see God's purpose in what he was doing with his people coming into the land. God's purpose for Israel. Joshua chapter 2. So they send out those spies to check out Jericho. Right? They get there, and this gal hides spies in her house. When she says in this, verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the 2 kings of Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. Catch the next part, and if you mark your Bible, underline it. If you don't, start marking your Bible today. Okay? Look at the rest. No courage found it. Why? For the Lord, your God, he is what? He's the real deal. We've heard about that. We heard about all those things back there in Egypt, what your God did to the Egyptians. That was God's purpose with a called people. For God, for them to be obedient to him and to give his law to them. And in so doing, he said, I will, if you obey me and you trust me, I will bless your socks off. Okay? Not socks, they had sandals. I will bless you beyond any other people. Beyond any other people, you will be a, listen to this carefully, you will be a light unto the nations. And they will see that I, your God, truly is God. This gal, Rahab, got it. No wonder she's over there in James in the book on the section on real faith. So, that's what's going on in the book of Joshua. In the book of Judges, it's chaos. Starts good and goes bad. Joshua is, trust God, obey God, and you'll be blessed. We sing stuff like that, don't we? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's what he said to them. You trust me, you obey me. You're going to walk around a city, yell, and the walls are going to fall down. I mean, just trust me and obey me, and there's blessing. But we get to the book of Judges, and it's chaos because of the idolatry and rebellion. And you don't need to turn there. But if you look at the last verse in Judges, you can see America. Now, it's not, it doesn't say America there. But you know what characterized the day of Judges? Every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. There we are today. You say our country's in chaos. That's why. That's why. Without truth and authority under the God of heaven. Now, okay, I'm not going to keep doing this. Ruth, you know everything there is to know about Ruth because Pastor just went through that book, right? 1 Samuel, just a little bit of a transition now, though. Now the people say, ah, it's great having you as our Lord, but we want a king like all the other peoples. And God says, okay, you want a king? I'll give you a king. Here's Saul. He looks good, but he didn't do very well. Amen? So they want a king, and then later we've got David and so forth, and then we've got a kingdom, and then we've got a kingdom that's divided. And after a divided kingdom, we got the northern Israel, 10 tribes, and southern Judah and Benjamin. and the chaos that goes on between them and all of the adultery and, idolatry that takes place. And even the battling between two kingdoms, and then the northern kingdom in 722, I believe it is, the Assyrians come in, destroy the northern kingdom and take people away into captivity. And then in 586, southern kingdom, the Babylonians come in and destroy the southern kingdom, destroy this glorious Ephesus called the temple there in Jerusalem, and boom, it's over as far as the kingdom is concerned physically there on earth. It's not over as far as a future kingdom, because the promise of Messiah is still true. But we see all of this going on in the history books. Then we get to Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah, they get to go, some of the exiles get to go back into the land. So Nehemiah has them building up the walls of the temple area. Ezra is going to build up the people through the law. And Esther is a fun book. I double dare you to read it this week and to see the providence of God. The providence of God in the book of Esther. So those are history books. Then we've got the poetic books. And we can fill this one in. First one is a guy who suffered, greatly. His name is Job, right? Job teaches us of the sufficiency of God's grace in suffering. Job said, "Though he would slay me, yet will I trust in him." Wow. Remember that one. I'm not very good at handling pain, are you? "Though he would slay me, yet will I trust in him." And he also said, "For my eyes I will see my Redeemer." Okay, and then Songs of Praise and Instruction. We love that book. That's why we do it in the scripture reading all of the time. That's the book of Psalms, right? Right? The book of Psalms, right? Tell you, learn how to say these things. Psalms is where we learn about the character of God as David is spending 10 years running from Saul, hiding in caves and saying, "How long, O Lord?" Have you ever said that? How long? Waiting. How many of you wait well? Just really good patience. He's waiting. He's already been promised. He's waiting. But his heart is filled with praise to God. And every time, catch that in the Psalms, every time he's going, "Oh man, Lord, this is going on. Help me in this." And then at the end of it, he's always going, "But you're my rock. You're my fortress, Lord. You'll take care of me." And he just renews our heart for God. Proverbs. I'm in Proverbs in my daily reading right now. And try to just, at my own pace, work my way through the Bible and then start again. Proverbs. Boy, it's hard for me. I do want to just stop here. Wisdom. Proper use of knowledge. Wiersbe says, "Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view." Oh my. For parenting. For life. Oh, wisdom, all throughout the Proverbs. And Solomon is telling his children, or whoever it is saying, oh my son, listen to me, please listen. Hear your father, hear your mother, desire wisdom with all of your heart. There was a gentleman, this is like 30 years ago or longer, a young guy that was won to Christ through the ministry of Plainfield Bible Church. A single guy, a graduate of Purdue, and had been in the military. I think he was still in the military at that time. Came to Christ, and he started reading. He got to Proverbs, and he goes, "Man, Proverbs!" He's just on fire about Proverbs. And so we challenged him to consider staying in there a while and just lining up the Proverbs. You've heard this, many of you. Take the Proverbs and read the day of the corresponding to the day of the month. Okay, like today is what's today? 12th, 11th. You'd read the 11th proverb and do that over again. And he came back. He said, "I want to be the wisest man in the world. I'm going to read it every day for the month. I'm going to do that every year, and I'm going to do that for 10 years." Now, I don't think he made it, but I want to tell you something. I hear from time to time he's on the West Coast now. But man, this guy is continuing. He's so fired up about the Lord and loves the Word. And I think he spent quite a while there, and it really impacted his life for having wisdom. It's just such a great book. Ecclesiastes, by the way, Dan Eganoff that's teaching the junior high class, he's exposing the kids to the book of Ecclesiastes right now. And Ecclesiastes is seeing life under the sun on this level. In other words, it's life without God. And you know what he says about it? It's all what? It's all vanity. What's vanity? It's all emptiness. It's all emptiness. Oh, there's different aspects of life. Enjoy it. Life's a gift from God. But ultimately, to the ultimate end, where's it going? Where's it leading? What's the purpose? And all the rest. But be sure you get to the end of the book, because he says, when all else has failed, obey God, understand his commandments, know God, and get above the sun, life above the sun. But it's the emptiness of an earthly life without God. Well said. And then Song of Solomon, married only. Okay? Just kidding. That kind of went over your heads there. Portrait of God's love and love between a man and his wife. Okay? Poetic. So, it's amazing, too, if we could all learn Hebrew, we'd see the beauty of the poetry books when they're read. It's almost like a song. It's just so beautiful. Major and minor prophets. Major and minor prophets. These men didn't volunteer. Were called by God. Go and call my people back to me, to repentance. By the way, there's four major themes. There's four major themes in the prophets. Here's one: to expose the sin and rebellion, idolatry of the people. Second one was to call them back to God and his law. A third theme was to warn them, if they didn't come back to God and his law, to warn them about what? Coming judgment, right? And the fourth theme, which is throughout Scripture, was the promise of a Messiah. Those are four themes that you can catch in the prophets. Anybody want me to repeat those? Okay, first one was to expose sins to the people. This is what these guys were all doing. None of them volunteer, and they couldn't quit, and most all of them suffered. You know. Expose sin, second purpose, call the people back to God and to the law. Third was to warn them of coming judgment. And fourth was the coming promised Messiah. Those are the major themes of reading the prophets. Those prophets were men sent by God to go preach to the people, particularly Israel, both northern and southern kingdom, for those reasons. Major prophet, minor prophet, the difference is size of the book. Okay? Size of the book. I had to go 3 years of seminary to finally learn this, okay? It's the size of the book. All right, then the New Testament. Ready? Oh, we might actually. No, we won't. Okay, New Testament. Focus. Life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Way of salvation. Beginning of Christianity. There's Acts. Life in the body of Christ. That's what we're about. God's plan for the future. Historical books. Here they are, the Gospels. I had a friend who had four sons. Guess what he made them? What he named them? Everybody? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did. He did. Matthew, tax gatherer. Mark, missionary. Luke, what's unique about Luke? And then I mentioned John. What's unique about Luke to the four? He's a Gentile. Yeah. The rest were Jews. All called. Come and follow me, and I will what? I'm going to make you a fisher of men, right? His men. And then the beginning of Christianity is recorded in the book of Acts. More about those guys. Now, next page, we've got the epistles. Epistle means letter, right? / letters. Real churches, real people, real problems. Some situations worse than others. Like the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians open, Paul gives praise for their salvation. The rest of the book, he's coming after them. They were real stinkers. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, he writes to that young church and just commending them for everything, that they're on fire and staying right with the Lord. But real churches, real people, real problems. If we have real people, then we're going to have real problems. So you say, I want to go to a church without problems. Right? We'll always have problems, but we have answers because we have the Word of God. Okay? We have the Word of God. So, if you want to find a church without any problems, don't go there because you'll ruin it. See, prophecy. Prophecy. We have not, this is a bugaboo with me. Your name will be on the board if I hear you say the revelations. There's how many?
One.
So it's the revelation. And then when we think of the revelation, we think, whoa, mystery hidden. The word means, if we had these things pulled together and we were on one side or the other, the word means open it up and look. It's like going to a play and here's the first act. There it is. It's the unveiling. So God says, look into this book. I'm going to let you peek into the what? Here's what's coming. Here's what's coming. And there's a main part of what's coming, and the main part of that is Jesus Christ. He's the main part of all of that that's taking place. That's the idea. So, nothing else said about the epistles, except this is why we spend a lot of time in, for instance, even pastors spending in Acts beginning today to show us the beginning of the church. Where did the church come? How does this take place in missionary journeys? And then we spend a lot of time, although all the scriptures are profitable, we spend a lot of time in the church epistles because they are letters written to churches just like us, with people just like us. Okay, how do the following verses emphasize the importance of God's Word? Next week, that's for you. You look up those verses and you answer it in terms of how this emphasizes the importance of God's Word. And we will finish this number one, and we will tackle, oh boy, I can't wait to do this one. We will tackle lesson number two. And if your phone continues to go off, I will write your name on the board. Okay? That's all right. You get a, I believe in grace. You get a pass for that.
I didn't throw him under the bus. He said it was on Friday.
There we have Genesis 3 right there. That's called blame shifting. Amen? Okay. But, okay, back with me. Back with me, please. Do that part 3 there. Okay? Husband and wife, do that together. Fun with that. And then I will scan the rest of this chapter. We could spend all of our 12 weeks just talking about the uniqueness of the Bible. I brought stuff to do that, but I didn't get to it. And then next week, I really am excited to talk with you about how to read the Bible and how to begin studying the Bible. Okay? How to read the Bible and how to begin studying the Bible to get the benefit from it. How many of you have ever said, man, I want to read the Bible and know better? So you open it up somewhere, you know, anywhere, and you read a chapter. And while you're reading that chapter, you're thinking, I've got a dental appointment tomorrow. No, wait, stay with me. And I've got to get laundry today, or I've got this stuff going on at work. But you read the chapter, and you read the chapter, you got the stuff going on. At the end of reading the chapter, if somebody had said, what book of the Bible did you just read from? You would have went, what? I don't even know. I don't even think out of it. You know why? Because you need to know how to read the Bible. I'm going to talk about that next week. You've got to come to the Bible the right way. You have to not insult the God of heaven by treating the Bible like any other book. So you have to know how to read it, and then we have to know how to begin to study it on our own. God didn't give you a book to have you have to run to somebody else to know it. He gave you a book that you can know it. But we need to approach it the right way, and the Bible helps us understand that. So, you finish up that answering those 1 through 4, and we're going to tackle chapter 2 next week, and we'll see you then, all right? Let me pray in closing, and I want to see the husbands. I want everybody else out of here, but I want to see the husbands for 2 minutes when we close here, okay? Some of you gals have been asking for me to get at them. I'm going to get at them. Okay? Let's pray. All right? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for these people and our time together. Just getting started, I realize, but wow, what a word you've given to us. We're so privileged and so blessed. Your word we want to hide in our hearts that we would not sin against you. So, bless our time together. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that great central redemptive theme that is to bring you glory Help us to be good learners, good disciples, good followers, even in this next hour as we worship you with all of our hearts. And I pray this in Christ's name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody out quick. Men, stay around. 2 minutes. Husbands.
Just husbands.
It was on silent.